Hello, Carroll County. This is Commissioner Tom Gordon of District 3, and today I have with me the Executive Director of the Carroll County Veterans Independence Project, Jason Sidock. I figured with this being wrapping up behind Veterans Day and it's Veterans Month, I thought we'd talk a little bit about some of this nonprofit's involvement in our community for veterans. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Commissioner Gordon. It's a pleasure to be here and talk about all the great things that CCVIP does and how we're helping veterans and their families in the community.
And I think it's fantastic. I know it's something that we have a lot of individuals and organizations that collaborate in the community, and I think it's one of the things we do best as a community, and I've always felt that way growing up here in Carroll County. What can you tell us about CCVIP?
CCVIP was founded in 2017. Frank Valenti, and you might recognize the name Mad Dog Sater. The shuttles are named after Mad Dog. They came together and had come up with the idea that there needed to be additional and or at that time services to help veterans in the county. They had three main missions. One of them was to help homeless veterans. Second one was to process veterans for disability claims. And third, help with transportation. Not long after Mad Dog Sater had had his accident and passed, Ed Kramer came on, and both Frank Valenti and Ed Kramer carried on the mission. And then it wasn't until 2021, January to be exact, the organization had acquired brick and mortar over here at 95 Carroll Street. And that's a time that they had looked at seeking an executive director, and I had been interviewed and brought on.
That's quite a lot of our known veterans in the community, to say the least, involved with that. And obviously, it's great to have Mad Dog's memory and legacy included. Besides the basics of founding CCVIP, what other kind of things do you offer to veterans in the community?
CCVIP, in short, not just words, but it's something we live by. And that is our mission statement, that is that the need drives the mission. So whatever a veteran and or their family member is faced with, if they walk through our doors or they call us, we will look, by working with our vast network of partners, to find a solution to assist them in getting past that hurdle that's in front of them. So I know that's just a broad statement, but if you can put it in there, whether it's help with legal services, whether it's getting disability benefits, it could be helping someone fill out, of all things, something for to get their driver's license, just because at that point in time, to that veteran, that's their Mount Everest. They can't get past working with the DMV to get their driver's license. So we step in and assist them and help make it happen.
That's fantastic. Obviously, anything we can do to assist our veterans and our community is more than appreciated. As the executive director, what are your responsibilities at CCVIP?
My responsibilities are to ensure that we have the right team in place of both paid and volunteer staff, because it takes a lot of volunteers to do what we do. We don't have the kind of money to go around and have all paid staff, but it's to ensure that I lead them in the way that, first and foremost, any veteran who comes through our doors is provided with the dignity and respect that they deserve. No matter what someone's condition is, you're going to treat them with the utmost dignity because they matter. And after we've made that first step, it's then to figure out what we need to do to assist them. So it's really leading a team, putting together the right team to ensure that we are taking care of the veterans of Carroll County.
And you mentioned, besides having paid staff, you have volunteers involved, and you have a volunteers brigade, if I'm not mistaken. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes, we do. In staying with the theme of the military and our veterans, because they can relate to it, we have over 100 volunteers signed up to participate with the volunteer brigade that is headed up by Kit in our office. She herself is a volunteer. She's our volunteer coordinator. And to give you an example, we have something called a tree lighting every December. And when we do the tree lighting, we will put out to our volunteer brigade and get baked goods. One year we had 72 dozen baked goods. Now, obviously, we have, you know, over 85 participants come and enjoy the festivities. 72 baked goods, a lot of baked goods. The next year we got that cut back to closer to 54, just so we didn't have to have so many cookies to take to the fire hall and everything. But the volunteer brigade is there to assist in whatever we do, whether it's going out to an event and setting up, handing out pamphlets, and notifying people of CCVIP. We utilize them in all manner.
That's incredibly impressive. I can't imagine that many baked goods. I think I'd have a diabetic coma from that, but truly amazing. What's your personal background and history of serving in the military, and how did you become the executive director?
First off, I was a military brat. My father served 42 years in the military, so that's all I knew growing up. After high school, I attended college and then went in the military myself. I was a military police officer. I deployed very shortly out of basic training off to Bosnia to help oversee the first ever democratic elections in the Balkan region. taught me a lot. It shaped me a lot in the fact that we in the United States need to make sure that we, no matter what we do or don't do when it involves politics, is that we get involved so that our voice can be heard. And it helped shape me to who I am today about no matter the mission, we've got to complete it.
That's incredible. And thank you for your service. How exactly did they go about picking an executive director? You said this was a new organization. So, I mean, was there a previous executive director? How did that all kind of come together?
There was not. There was a founders board, and the founders board felt that once they had brick and mortar, it was their time to get an executive director on board. At that time, they also felt that it was better to involve folks from the community versus having a founders board select an executive director. Individuals like Tammy Black from Access Carroll at that time, Ed Singer, who was the head of the health department, and many other notables from the community came together. And I will tell you, I've done many interviews in my time, and that was probably one of the toughest, the questions that were thrown at me, because you had every facet of the community engaged in that interview panel. And at the end of the day, they thought that I was their guy to stand this up, and that was their recommendation to the board.
That's quite a couple impressive names, to say the least, and I can't even imagine who else must have been on that interview panel. So I know, obviously, the fall's been a very busy time for the organization and you yourself. What all have you been up to this fall so far?
Oh, this fall, you know, it seems like as you get closer to November with Veterans Day, some of the speaking engagements for me personally, like at McDaniel College, I was very honored to be able to go there and be their keynote and speak there to the veterans and community and honor the veterans of some of faculty and staff and just some of the veterans in whole. But also we held our SOS event. If you missed it this year, which I know you were there,
yes.
We actually, I believe, had a picture of you in the kitchen helping cook up some SOS.
That is correct.
But the SOS, it was several restaurants, local restaurants came together to serve, and each of them had a different dish. And then folks came and they ate mess hall style. They were given a silver tray, metal tray, and they went through the line and ate like they were in the mess hall. And we even had some young cadets from McDaniel College who let them see what the experience was like, that when you're in a mess hall, you need to eat, get out. And everyone had a good time and enjoyed it. It was really interesting when you walk around, you would hear, maybe it was a grandfather or a dad, but you would hear someone, for instance, "Granddad, is this how you ate when you were in the military?" And it led to hearing the grandfather open up and tell stories to his grandchildren. So it had a lot of dual purposes, and it was really a moving event.
That's fabulous. What other kind of events have you had? I know this, like you said, you've done some speaking engagements in the fall, but what else has been going on?
We also, in conjunction with the Door to Virtue Masonic Lodge here in Westminster, we launched the first ever Veterans Day Parade, and that was a blast, to say the least. It was also very interesting with the turnout that we had. Over 75 vehicles and participants in it, and we had brought in General Novotny. Brigadier General Novotny was our Grand Marshal. We were honored to have Sergeant First Class Ed Sterrett, who was our Honorary Grand Marshal, and he was a Navy Cross recipient from Vietnam. And if you ever get a chance to want to talk to a true hero, what a guy. He could really tell you stories, but he's also one of the most humble folks you will ever meet. So we had the parade, a lot of energy behind it. Everyone had a great time.
Yes, Mr. Sterrett is very humble. I've had the pleasure of meeting him, and he is very humble and I'd say even somewhat reserved about some of his accomplishments.
He absolutely is. You have to push him a little bit, and he's okay with that, but he's not just going to start talking. If you ask him a question, he's usually very open to talking with you, and he will share if asked.
So CCVIP also, I know you're collecting items to give to veterans in the community. I know that's something you all do consistently throughout the year. What types of items, and are there other organizations in the community you work with?
So we work with way too many organizations to mention them all. It's truly a vast group of partners that come together. And you'll find at this time of the year as different organizations, I'll mention just one in particular, Shepherd Staff. As we're filling baskets, let's say, or goodies for those that are in need, we'll, as organizations, start talking to each other, and they may have something that they have an excess of, or we have an excess, and we find ourselves just kind of moving excess around so that everyone can take care of the folks that they're trying to serve. And we're always, as the weather changes going into winter, we're always taking warm weather items to put in our duffel bag room, because veterans that come in and have a need for these warm weather items, and that can be socks, caps, gloves, jackets, boots if you have them. And it's okay if they're slightly used, but slightly new so that we can get them out for our veterans. And it's a big help at this time.
And, you know, obviously you mentioned a variety of groups. You mentioned Shepherd Staff. I know recently CCVIP partnered with Bridging Life. Could you tell the listeners a little bit more about that?
Bridging Life, through their hospice program, and they do a wonderful job of honoring veterans in their final days there, they reached out to us, and it was to help a veteran get his air medal. And that's quite a touching story itself. You also were there with us when we honored that veteran and got to meet him. When they were doing their honoring him in his final days, the only thing he could think of was he did not get his air medal. So Bridging Life came to us, and when they did, we jumped in to help, and we were able to get his medal, get his paperwork, and then we had that presented to him. In my opinion, it gave that veteran a little bit of peace in his final days. But what we just recently did at their Luminary event, where they honor Gold Star families, is that we signed a MOU. The MOU put in place allows them to share with us information when veterans come in so that our vet advocates can jump into action to help them so that it is helping them and their families in this time of need get the resources from VA, because so many, especially the Vietnam era, they just never were told about the benefits that are available to them.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, I had two grandfathers that served in World War II, and I can tell you, learning more about the benefits that are available now versus what I was aware of when they were alive roughly 10 years ago, it's dramatically different. And I'm always amazed and shocked at not only the people that aren't aware, but then you have veterans that choose not to, or they feel like they're not, they don't need that, or not worthy. Yes. I mean, what's your thoughts on that? I mean, if somebody knows a veteran, be it a family member, a friend, or, you know, whatever, what's the best way to sort of maybe approach that?
I will tell you, it may not work for everybody, but I have actually done this in front of a group of 50 or more veterans, and I told that generation to quit being hard-headed and stubborn. I got a lot of the wives shaking their head yes in agreement, but honestly, it does come down to that. Is it's not that they're really being hard-headed and stubborn. So many of them came back in the way they were treated. We treated our veterans from that war unlike we should treat anybody. They didn't feel worthy because of how we treat them. They weren't treated as the heroes that they are. But if you know someone, have them call me. I would love to have that conversation with them, because I've not lost that conversation yet. I find a way to convince them that you earn this. This is not something that is giving to you. It's something you earned. You need to take advantage, and that's a bad word, advantage, because you're not taking advantage, but you need to take advantage of getting what you need, because I remind them it's not all about you. It's about your spouse and family as well.
No, you're absolutely right. I know you've helped a number of Vietnam veterans that the families weren't really sure of how to even approach it. I know a couple were having struggles finding the DD-214 that they needed. Do you find many younger veterans that are in need of assistance that are kind of either feeling they don't need it, or it needs to be more given to the older veterans, for lack of a better way of putting it?
You do find that, Commissioner. You find that of all ages, and just something about being a veteran, it crosses all ages. And you'll find your newer veterans, younger veterans, who will actually say, well, you know, I don't need it right now. I can wait. And same thing, we've got to have that conversation with them. And look, this isn't about waiting. This isn't about there's a certain amount of money, and after the 50th person comes in, there's no more. No, there's no number. They're here to take care of our veterans. So let us get you processed. Let VA do what they need to do.
No, absolutely. I think our county is so focused on our veterans, and obviously we have our veterans event that we've had for the last couple of years. And I know another organization you're involved with, which is a county organization, is you interact with Citizen Services. And I know obviously you also attend the VAC meetings, which is another thing with a lot of various veterans entities. Could you tell us a little bit about interacting with Citizen Services?
We truly are fortunate to be in Carroll County, and that's not just a buzz line. You know, it's very true, because I hear folks all the time from just recently had a conversation with someone from Oregon, and the Veteran Services there, they're telling them, oh, you're no longer going to be able to get this or that's not available. And they're shutting them down from even applying for stuff. That's foreign to me, because we don't say no. You come in, we're going to help you. And when I say we're fortunate, is because Carroll County's Veteran Services, under the Citizen Services over there, they do a fabulous job in helping veterans in all aspects. They're there to help process HUD-VASH vouchers and get them out of the homeless shelter, out of the camp, and into a house, into an apartment. You've got the DAV, you've got the VFW, the American Legion. all of these organizations are, you're coming together. The VAC is a place that that can happen. It's the Veterans Advisory Council. And it just brings everybody together to allow them to come up with ways to help our veterans. And every county in the United States doesn't have that. So we're very fortunate to be in a county that puts its veterans where they need to be and try to assist them.
So you just mentioned homeless veterans. What can you tell us about the homeless veteran population in Carroll County? And what are your thoughts on that?
Well, when you talk about homeless veterans in Carroll County, a lot of people have different counts. What I can say to you is 2 years ago, I had 21 sitting in my conference room being fed by Mission Barbecue, and many other veterans joined us to be with them. And these are homeless veterans and veterans who are at risk. So you start getting into the official definitions and it'll make your head hurt. But it could just be someone who is couch surfing. It can be someone who's living in someone's garage. They don't have a place. We've got veterans living in tents right now. I could take you down to the woods and show you, because they prefer to live in there than to go to the shelter for various reasons. So it's, how do we tackle that? How do we get them wrapped up in touch with the various organizations that can assist us in assisting them? And that's, again, where the County Veterans Services is very good at what they do, and they can come in and help with those resources.
One of the other things I know your organization has is a event called Vet Talk. So could you tell us a little bit about Vet Talk? You know, how often is it? What kind of topics? Who are represented? What is Vet Talk?
Vet Talk. Simply what it says in the name, it's Vet Talk. We get together. Frank Valenti, one of our founders, he started this probably right after we started in with after our grand opening in June of 21. So he started that fall. And it started off with 3, 4, 5. Now we can get over 50 veterans. They come together. Several restaurants in the area will donate food for the evening. We do it every third Thursday. It's from 6 to 8. This month, McDaniel College will be hosting us, and Mission Barbecue will be the ones hosting the dinner for the night. It's veterans only. I don't allow anyone that's not a veteran, and it's very loosely moderated. Conversations can go from the strangest thing you ate on deployment or any time in the military. It can go to, you know, we had a World War II submariner telling us that they had to store the potatoes in the shower just to be able to keep them from going bad until they could eat them all up. So it's just things that I might say the general public might look at us and scratch their head, but when these veterans get in there and start talking, it's things that they all understand. They get it. It's funny to us where it might not be funny to someone else. And then there's times that it can become very serious. The conversation's usually not led to be serious, but there's a veteran who just needs to be able to get something off of his or her chest and just say how something's helped them. And they feel like they're in this safe space. They feel like they're in a zone that everyone in there can understand them and not judge them. And that's a good thing, because we won't tell any of them it's a secret. We tell them it's not therapy, but in the end of the day, they all get to get something out of it, and you'll have veterans who tell you they won't miss it.
That's incredible. So you mentioned it's going to be at McDaniel College coming up. Could you give us like the date and time and where that's going to be held if anybody listening might want to attend by chance?
Yes, Commissioner. It will be this month at 6 p.m. It's always from 6 to 8. Our veterans seem like they get there earlier and earlier because they like to come together and get their food, sit down, and be ready to start at 6, and that's fine. You can show up right at 6, you can show up a few minutes early, you can show up late. It doesn't matter. As I said, McDaniel College is hosting us. It will be in the Rice Coley Lounge. It's building 35, and so we welcome any veteran that wants to come. Please come. You don't have to say anything. We do ask new veterans to identify themselves, say their name, maybe say a little bit about their, just so we can get them kind of talking. But you don't have to say anything. You can stay there and listen. You can say as much as you want or as little as you want. And you're going to find that you're going to find the camaraderie just from the different veterans that are there.
That's incredible. I can tell you, and obviously everybody has different experiences. I know I've had some veterans in my family that, you know, they came back from World War II. I had a few that wanted to share it quite heavily with family, and I had a few that they would be more apt to share it around other veterans. And very much, you know, they would tell us the funny stories, but when they got around someone else that they could relate to or might have had similar experiences, yeah, I think it was a great opportunity for them to just interact and share. So that's fantastic that you all are holding an event like Vet Talk every month. I think that's just truly remarkable to have something like that in our county. So I've got to ask, so I know you're very busy. You all are doing so many things, from the parade aid to having Vet Talk. I know you're also helping people get processed for disability and so forth. Could you give us any examples of like recent stats or what kind of things your staff is doing right now?
Absolutely. So as you asked earlier what my job was, my job is to just make sure that the resources are available for my vet advocates. Because when I talk about these stats, this is what these two vet advocates have done. And if you look back, the numbers I'm going to throw at you go up through third quarter here for 2024. So if you start and just go back to January 21, we opened our doors, we have processed over 3,500 veteran disability claims and just provided assistance to veterans and their family members. And that's quite remarkable to have two young ladies sitting in the office who they care. A veteran walks in, they take the time to listen to their story. And remember what I said earlier, first and foremost, every veteran will be treated with the dignity and respect that they deserve to ensure that they know they matter. And it's just amazing. In 1 month, well, August jumps to mind, two vet advocates processed 132 disability claims because there's that much of a need of individuals who need to get their claims. And the funny thing is, this is word of mouth. Veterans find a place that they know that someone respects them and cares about them, and they got to tell their buddy, you need to go to CCVIP. And then we'll just get someone coming in saying, so-and-so said I need to come see you. We're always happy to help them. We work with any of our partners when we need to help get the claims or any assistance filed. And that's just, they're working very hard in there.
That's amazing. I can't even do the math off the top of my head, but that's such an incredible number in such a limited amount of time for two employees working to assist veterans. My hat's off to them. So obviously as a nonprofit, you know, what's the best way for the public to get involved? I mean, I know obviously you've got events. What ways can the public, if they're interested, support the mission of what you all do and, you know, assist with all the other organizations that you interact with in that whole process?
Well, as you know, Commissioner, we are a private nonprofit. We have no public assistance as far as from a government entity at this point. So all money raised is through private foundations, it's through individuals, and through grants that we're able to get. So any donation helps the mission. And any donations can be made to our website at ccvip.vet. We also host our gala, the SOS event. We have the SOS, which is just a small fundraiser we're going to be doing every November from now on. It's a fun fundraiser, just so folks can have a good time and just be able to give at the same time. Mm-hmm. We have our gala. Our gala is held in May. This past May, we raised $148,000. From our gala. And so that $148,000 goes a long ways to funding what needs to be funded here at the nonprofit and allow us to keep servicing the amount of veterans and their family members that we do.
Wow, that's an incredible amount of money to raise in a gala. Obviously, Carroll County is a very philanthropic community, be it, you know, veterans, be it, you know, children, be it a wide array of, you know, areas. We are very, very philanthropic and very giving in this county, and it always amazes me how generous we are and how supportive we are of one and each other. And I think it shows, and clearly it shows with that kind of a turnout for a gala. You know, is there anything else you'd like to tell me about CCVIP or the veterans in our county? Is there anything you all have coming up in the near future that might be of interest, anything like that?
We do have a tree lighting where we light up this large fir tree at the end of our parking lot in red, white, and blue. And that will be on Friday, December 6th at 5:30. Just a fun event. We welcome anyone in the community, whether you're a veteran or not, to come out, enjoy some of those great baked goods that we talked about earlier. This year for children, we have done like coloring contests and things in the past, thanks to a local hardware store who are donating small live trees. They will be on the table. We'll have a children's table. They can actually decorate them, and then they can take them home with them and then plant them if they'd like. But it's just to give them something to do. There will be a visit by Mr. and Mrs. Claus. I understand they'll be arriving by Humvee. And we may have a few tactical elves hanging out around there, but it's a great opportunity to come because when else can you get your picture in a Humvee with Mr. and Mrs. Claus? So come on out and do that. And Other than that, we'll also be working to get veterans on the list so that they can get a Thanksgiving meal. In the military, Thanksgiving was always the big holiday. That was the one that was always focused on. So if you've got somebody, it's not too late. Get them on the list. We can make sure that they can get a Thanksgiving meal. And that's in partnership with Babylon Vault. So by all means, get that out to us. Other than that, CCVIP, stop by and see us. 95 Carroll Street, Suite 104. We're always looking for people that want to volunteer and add to the volunteer brigade. We're always accepting donations. Anything that you can think of, maybe it's something that we haven't, we're always listening, always willing to take on new ideas.
Besides your address, anything, direct phone number or email they should reach out to?
You have our address, like you said. Yep. Best thing to do to email us, you could either go through the website, ccvip.vet, and contact us through the contact form there. And then that way we can just make sure that gets processed and we can make sure someone gets back to you.
That's fantastic. So sounds like you've got a busy year. Anything big in 2025?
2025, possibly December of 24. There is a very big announcement coming. It's been talked about a little bit. We will have a lot more details on that. At this point in time, we're not going to put it out, but it is a really big announcement and it will be a great asset here to serve our veterans in Carroll County.
I'm very curious to see what that might be. It sounds like we might get an early Christmas gift out of whatever you're hinting at. So I guess we'll all just have to wait and see. But thank you for coming in. I appreciate you taking the time. And, you know, thank you to you and all the volunteers and the staff and not just your organization, but anybody that's looking out for our veterans in Carroll County. Because to me, I have such a huge spot in my heart for veterans and anybody that's served. I just think that, you know, the least we can do is give back and support those that have done so much for us.
Well, Commissioner, thank you for having me. And Carroll County is definitely the place for that. As you said, a lot of fine organizations taking care of veterans.
Thank you so much.